Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Word Vomit Podcast, a podcast where we give our take on the worlds of video games, music, comics, movies, and television. I am your host, Emmanuel. On this episode, we have the handsome ransom, Randy King.
That's right.
And we're recording from Garage Studios. This podcast is free for your listening pleasure. If you want to help this podcast, make sure you to subscribe. Be sure to hit that like and share button.
That's right. Share with your friends.
Randy Kings, what is up?
Not much, man. Not much. Exciting times.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff's happening.
Man, we're getting closer and closer to Black Panther.
I know. I'm so excited for that.
I'm stoked. Have you early reviews have already come out and saying how awesome it is.
It's supposed to be the best Marvel film. Tonally, it's supposed to be like how Captain America Winter Soldier is, which is my favorite Captain America. I mean, Civil War is great, but just like the things that happened in Winter Soldier were so good. The whole Hydra thing. I'm like, oh shit, are you fucking kidding me?
And then what else we got? We got Ant-Man and Wasp had their trailer come out.
Yes, it did. That was really good. Have you seen, back to Black Panther, did you hear that there was a, I don't want to put it this way. Well, I guess I should put it this way. It's literally a Facebook Black Panther hate group.
Yeah, and I did see the update. They did, shut them down.
Well, because, I mean, I get it. Don't like what you don't like. I mean, we say like what you like, and conversely, don't like what you don't like. But the fact that you want to actively put a group together to say bad reviews for this movie, they didn't even have to see the movie.
Right. And they're still going to try to do that. They're still going to try to go on Rotten Tomatoes and just give it the worst score possible.
And I'm like, I get it.
But here's the thing.
That's what's messed up.
I want them to do that. Because, and here's why. Because if Black Panther is as good as the reviews are saying, then you know that is going to pull money.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to pull money. Yeah. I think, this is a bold prediction, but I think it may hit the $1 billion point.
Yeah.
Now,
their preview tickets are crazy.
If you take it, it has a shit score. It was, according to the Metacritic, a shit movie that made $1 billion.
That's true. That is true.
No matter what you try to do,
yeah, that's true.
That shit brought in money.
Yeah.
So suck it.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about, you know, bad movies out there. And like I mentioned before, that was it Transformers Return of the Fallen. It was for that summer was given a record, broke a record or made a record, which was the most money made by a very low rated film. It was like a 20% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it made like $500 million.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
Here's another one for
you. I watched it twice.
And I'm pretty sure Warner Brothers is going to want to distance themselves from this. They use the hashtag DC over Marvel.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, come on, guys. It doesn't have to be a DC or Marvel. Why can't it be DC and Marvel? I mean, we talk great about Marvel movies because they're like the good ones.
Right.
I mean, when, like,
but it's more so of just like the idea that this hate
like,
group
come on, man.
for a movie
they're trying to bring up they're recruiting based on that.
They're using DC for that, and I'm pretty sure DC is at some point going to come out with the statement and be like, y'all can go over there.
I would hope so. I would hope that people at Warner Brothers Studios and DC are like, why are you being like that, man?
Yeah.
Why are you going to be like that? I'm sure someone's going to be like, well, I'm sure there's a vote down these DC movie scores. And I'm like, I'm not one of those guys.
Yeah.
You give me a movie that looks good. At least make the trailers look good. Justice League trailers did not look good. At least
how do you
me.
Not get rid of a mustache?
Not well.
How?
Well, you know what it is? They had to do reshoots. What they should have asked him is, hey, can you shave it? I don't know. Can Henry Cavill grow facial hair quickly?
I don't know.
They finally released the movie, or at least the trailer for the movie that he's in that has that mustache. Like,
really?
I finally saw it. I was like, I don't remember what it was. So I'm like, hey, he's like a cop with the, I just remember he has like a baseball hat and like a badge. I'm like, oh, that's the movie.
Still better than Superman.
I mean, they could have just.
We'll wait and see.
We're not gonna know what's going on.
That was just, you know, playful ribbing right there.
But yeah, it's weird that they have that those groups are like that. And I'm like, come on, guys, you got better. Isn't there better things for you guys to do? I'm just like, come on, man.
Apparently, no, they don't. Did you hear? Well, let me just go ahead and just preference this right now. PETA strikes again.
Oh my god.
Oh, this is fun times. According to comicbook.com, PETA wants the creators of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to
go forward series. Yeah.
And make the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles vegans.
Well, they want their pizza to be vegan. They don't want it to actually have milk, cheese, or whatever it is on their pizza, which they asked, like, apparently they're pushing for Nickelodeon because they're asking, or what was it? When they showed the new characters, they made April O'Neil African American, which actually,
Like I hear he's getting some backlash
of course
on
it
that,
is.
Too.
Because
you're always going to have that.
They're going to have that because it's
you
different.
You can't change anything.
But to be honest, I think, was it from the origins of it, April O'Neil technically was African-American. You just didn't know it because it's a black and white comic.
Hmm.
It's, you know, they didn't shade her that way because it wasn't a color comic book.
Yeah, it was black and white.
Then you're not, yeah, that's how it was. I'm like, oh, she originally was supposed to be that way, and then they changed it, from my understanding.
So she would have been black and Irish.
Yeah, which...
O'Neil.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool, actually.
Again, we've talked about them before. What's Spider-Man 2099? He's...
O'Hara.
Oh, Miguel O'Hara. I'm like...
So he's Spanish and Irish.
He's like, really, guys? I mean, whatever. It's a comic book and it's a cartoon series, right, and whatever. I have no issue with them doing that, but the fact that they're trying to force it on Nickelodeon, like,
yeah,
make this happen, guys.
Okay, so...
They give stats, which is weird.
I'm going to go ahead and...
You can tell them fuck PETA again? Hashtag fuck PETA.
Why are you stealing my thunder,
I'm just saying. Okay, sorry, go ahead. Sorry. Go.
No. Now it's unorganic. Well, maybe I'll come back to it in a second. But I did a little bit of research on this, okay? And because they want to get so serial... Yes, I said cereal.
Mm-hmm, I heard you.
About the turtles eating vegan. I did some research on it, and I found out turtles in question, I believe they were called either red-tailed or red-necked. It's probably going to be tailed.
Because
I just heard that in my head. I'm like, that sounds weird. Red-tailed turtles, right? And the diet of a red-tailed turtle is essentially anything you give it. If you give it plants, it'll eat plants. Bugs, it'll eat bugs. They say there should be a healthy balance of both.
Yeah.
Now, I looked it up some more. I looked it up some more.
Not that we
and
are
I looked,
humans.
And the question that I asked Google, I said, or I didn't say, I typed in, can vegans eat bugs? Because there is actually a community where people eat bugs for certain proteins to avoid eating meat.
Yeah.
And
does that count, really?
Well, I double checked.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
And vegans cannot. So with them trying to add some sort of realism to it, they have missed the point that by denying them the other half, which is bugs, which have certain proteins and enzymes in it, you are actually hurting turtles.
Let's be honest. They're not trying to make realism in here. They're trying to push their agenda, which is not to have any type of animals in a cartoon. It's a cartoon series, for God's sakes.
Fuck you, PETA!
There you go.
That was nice.
Of hashtag fuck you, PETA. I like that. We're going to start that.
Yeah.
Fuck you, PETA.
Hashtag fuck you, PETA. Fuck you. Let's go through the list.
Again, do something better.
Fuck you for trying to, quote unquote, spare the Zergling.
Oh, so dumb.
Fuck you for getting rid of the Tanuki suit and making it a costume. Fuck you guys for that. It's still a suit. It is a cat suit.
Yeah.
You guys can go suck it. Fuck you very much for trying to take something that has been around for quite possibly longer than you and try to change it to your fucking agenda. You can all go to hell.
And to be quite honest, what Sean Vander said, he's like, what you deal with is serious, but we can't take you seriously when you do shit like this.
Right.
You can't. I mean, go after something that's real, like a real legit thing. How about those? What is it? We have a vanishing bee population. Why don't you talk about that?
Right, exactly. Fucking kids killed like 50,000 bees.
It's crazy. Crazy stuff are happening with actual animals. And
right.
And you're
going after the turtles.
You're going after our cartoons.
How is it that a guy who does a podcast knows more about the bee population than PETA?
I don't know. I have no idea.
The hell is that all about?
How about why don't they make their own cartoon series? They should make their own things to show as an example.
That's how it works. Because it's probably going to bomb anyways.
Yeah, that's true. No one's going to watch that.
Yeah.
I mean, think of it this way. Again, I'm not for animal cruelty. I'm not for any of those things. But what I am saying is, for God's sakes, it's a cartoon series. A cartoon about mutant turtles.
With an alien race that are primarily Triceratops.
they're keeping the wrath, they're keeping Splinter the same, right? He's still their master. They actually do ninjutsu, or they change. I didn't actually see.
I don't know about that part.
I didn't see all of what they're doing. I just saw the screenshots of the new look, which I actually like. I think it's pretty dope.
You know what? I still like the TMNT that came out during the early 2000s.
Oh yeah, the CG one.
No, the animated one. There was an animated one that came out on Fox for a little while.
I thought that was still, or cel-shaded. Isn't that one that the cel-shaded one?
I mean, it wasn't 3D, it was animated. The entire thing was animated.
No, I know, but it's still, cel-shaded technically is animated.
Yeah, then yes.
Like beautiful then Joe yes. look. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's...
The one where Raph actually has a Brooklyn accent?
Oh, that's so bad, though. So terrible. I wonder how New Yorkers feel about the Turtles. Because, you know, they are a resident of New York City. They talk about living there and everything. Oh, yeah, it's a Brooklyn accent. Why would he have a Brooklyn accent? And none of his brothers did either, right?
Yeah,
no one else did. So funny.
I was watching a clip of, I can't remember which Batman animated series it is. It's one that just recently came out. It's where they team up with Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
Harley
yeah.
Quinn is being voiced by the actress who does Sheldon's, not Sheldon's wife.
It's
Wallowitz's wife.
Melissa Rauch.
Where she does the voice.
Yeah.
And she's in the middle of a fight with Poison Ivy. And she's telling them, you know, you can't do this. You know, what you're going to do is going to destroy the world. And she goes, well, what else can I do? She goes, I don't know. Vote Democrat. Donate to charities. And or donate to Greenpeace. I was like, that's saving the whales.
Yeah. She actually is good for voiceover work.
Yeah. And she did a really good job.
Like,
with that.
For anyone who watches Big Bang Theory and you see Bernadette, that's her character's name. She does not, if you don't know, she doesn't actually talk like that. She does not have that high-pitched sound that she does is actually based off of her mom, except her mom has a Jersey accent on top of that.
So we do this entire thing where we talk shit about PETA, and it almost feels like we're going into the phase of calling out problems and not pointing to solutions.
That's true. Well, I did get a solution. How did I make one?
We've been doing this for a while now. Yeah. So...
What's the solution?
I did a bit of research, and I found another animal activist that, you know, you may actually want to put your time into.
Okay.
And it is madcowboy.com.
Matt Cowboy?
Mad Cowboy.
Mad Cowboy.
And it is run by a gentleman by the name of Howard Lyman. He is a former cattle rancher turned vegan.
Ooh.
And food safety activist.
Okay.
And he was on Oprah.
Ooh.
When Oprah was going after the beef industry.
Yes.
Yeah. He was on the show for that.
Okay.
That one, I think, like, instead of dedicating your time, if you want to do stuff that, you know, save animals and whatnot, go to him. Or you know what? Google other ones. Like, yeah. Type in the best animal activist groups.
You know, the problem is that PETA's a little militant. They're a little militant. You're like, they're trying
a little.
I'm trying to be a little bit. No. Just a little bit. I don't want to. You know what it is? I don't want to get all hot and bothered. I have been drinking. I don't want to get all hyped up because I want to like fight PETA if it was a real person.
Oh, I'd be there right there.
And I'd be like, bro, let's do this. Come at me, bro. But I don't want to be like that right now.
Old martial arts skills would be coming back.
Because we got cool things to talk about.
It'd be an awesome choreographed fight.
Oh, it'd be great. That's what I'm going to like.
Epic music playing in the background.
I'm going to have like my hand pull out behind me, and then someone's going to throw a lightsaber in my hand. I'm going to start wailing on
these
guys.
They're going to put the background music created by Lucas Sound.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that's going to be so cool.
But anyways, I don't want to get all hyped up about that. I will say they are a little militant. And maybe they need to, like, you know, tone it down on attacking pop culture stuff because it's not actually going
to
do anything.
I think they actually need a change in management.
I don't even know who runs the place.
Neither do I. But the thing is that it's been going on for so long that, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, it's things like this that hurt your cause. It doesn't help
yeah.
it. I'll be honest with you. I want a slice of pepperoni pizza right now just to say fuck you guys.
I got
because apparently the turtles have to eat a vegan one.
I'm gonna. Well, I don't have pizza.
Eat a vegan pizza.
But I do have some prime rib in the refrigerator that I need to cook.
That's gonna take so long to cook.
Well, it's already actually. It's already nighttime. It's like it's leftover stuff, so I can just like put it in the pan and like let it heat up for a little bit, and then good.
Okay,
just
okay.
a little bit.
And we'll hashtag PETA on it, and you know,
tasty,
delicious.
Take a picture of you eating a slice of pizza.
Have you seen those new commercials for the better foods, like the better eggs, the better ham, and all that?
No, actually, I haven't.
Where it's. And it's not like an activist program, but it's a commercial like, you know, buy our eggs. And do you remember like the vegan grandma that they had a while back?
No.
Like there was a video of like a vegan grandma or a straight edge grandma. I can't remember what it was. And she's this sweet lady. She's this sweet old lady. She curses like a sailor.
Awesome.
And she goes, have you heard that shit about where they take a turkey and they put a duck in it? What kind of shit is that?
That sounds delicious. A turducken?
But yeah. But she was talking about, you know, making a tofurkey.
Tofurkey. Well, okay.
And she was like, she's showing you the recipe and how to make it delicious and all that. So I think they took a cue from her where they promote their stuff like, you know, their cows are grass fed and grazed, but again, they want to try to they want to try to attract that certain audience where they say our chickens are free range chickens. Can you believe people still put chickens in a cage? What kind of bullshit is that? And then it ends right there. It's just okay.
I've never heard this commercial. I gotta look it up.
You
know what?
You'll probably find it when you look up a YouTube video. It'll probably pop up. Okay. So just listen for it. It's one of those where you can't skip it.
Gotcha.
But it's I got to give it to him. It was a funny one, and if I ever see them, I may have to actually buy it.
You know, maybe if PETA went at it in a humorous way, but not necessarily targeting things like that. Like, we talk about pop culture. We're a protective pop culture that we like, obviously. At the same time, I'm like, hey, man, why don't you actually go for things that are actually matter? Well, how about that? Because, you know, really, I'm not saying that it won't influence anybody, but, you know, it's a kid's cartoon.
It's better than what you got going on right now.
It's a kid's cartoon, and you're, you know, no one's going to care.
Thinking of this, I remember I was in the car going to work yesterday, and I thought, man, this world sucks right now. I need to listen to some Bad Religion.
Oh, man.
Because Bad Religion, they have a song that's called I Want to Conquer the World.
Yeah.
It's like a 2-minute and 45-second song. And it's really cool because the chorus goes, and I want to conquer the world, give all the idiots a brand new religion, put an end to poverty and cleanliness and toil, promote equality. And then he goes, and then he says it again, and he goes, and then I'll use it to save the whales. I'm just like, yeah, actually, I think this is the song that Brain was listening to from Pinky and the Brain. He said, I must conquer the world.
Maybe.
To make it a better place.
Maybe.
And if you guys haven't heard that song, it's a really cool song. I think it's off of the No Control album. I'll have to double check that. Gotta make sure I keep my punk rock cred.
Hey, hey.
But yeah, definitely listen to the song. Cool stuff. But yeah, going back to the Turtles, apparently there's a new Turtle movie coming out, right? Like I heard there was like talks about something going on with that.
What, the new, like a TMNT 3?
Yeah, and they had announced that there was going to be something special to it. But of course, it's a Michael Bay movie, so there's that part of me that's just like, yeah, it's too late. Can't do it.
I'm trying to look up. Actually, you know, it's funny because I put TMNT 3 into Google and it came up with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, where they go back in time to Japan.
Oh, yeah, feudal Japan. The one that had the worst costumes.
Oh, it was so bad.
Terrible.
No, you know what? The only thing I see that comes up, one article, according to Google, there's the, if there is a third movie, it was a year ago, though. I don't see anything.
Nothing is said as too recent? No. Okay.
But it says that, you know, they're basically saying that they're hopeful because it was the first two movies, well, of this iteration were more or less successful. So
let me ask you something. Who would you like to see to direct a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie?
Maybe someone who actually has a martial arts background as far as action goes. Someone who can, you know, who understands the fight. Like, if you want to make it super gritty and kind of badass looking, look to the Hong Kong scene. There's a bunch of those guys who can do it. Not just for, like, the guys who did The Raid, who I know the director, he's American, but, like, the team that behind it was all from the Southeast Asia, if I'm not mistaken. And they did both hand-to-hand combat and gunplay really well, so you can have the mix. Not saying that you need to have the turtles have guns, but their enemies will, and you can see how it works out.
Like when they're just fighting random thugs in the street or something.
Yeah, and they're action seeking them. If you've no one seen The Raid, or was it Raid Redemption or The Raid 2, it's really good.
Jeez, the fights in Raid. You know,
it was groups.
I wanted to stop watching at one point because I was like, oh my god, did he just he's never walking again.
Like in the first movie, the lieutenant fights the main henchman and you think he might win, and then he does like that running the wall run RKO onto the table. I went, oh my god.
And then he's very methodical after that. That was the part that made me cringe, is that he was being very slow about it.
And he knew how to get him. Like, he basically did it was like watching a hardcore match in ECW. Like, the things that he did to this guy, like, even though you might think, oh, he's gonna win, like, no, dude. He grabbed him by the bulletproof vest and like power bombed him into the corner of a table. I'm like, yeah, that's he's
it.
Done.
That's it.
But yeah, like a scenes like that, maybe not obviously because TMNT is a kids brand. You don't want it to be that graphic, but have the sequences be that complex.
I'd like to see Matthew Vaughn take a crack
at
it.
Oh, he's good at that. He would be good, too. He's
and here's
one.
The thing. I actually want to see something that is further progressed. Because every time a new director gets their hands on it, it's always a reboot. They'll always start from the very beginning. I want something in the middle. Hey, I want something...
This happens.
Like, for instance, I want Casey Jones to be a prominent figure by that point.
Yeah.
And
he's like a dude.
Yeah. And a character that started out as a street fighter that has martial arts skills now, but still prefers to get the hockey stick from time to time. I want to see that, you know?
You want to see, like, he's already there. You don't need the origin story.
Right.
Yeah.
And everybody, because anybody who would go watch a TMNT movie, first off, is going to be a fan of the series.
Yeah, you're going to know.
And, you know, everybody knows who Casey Jones is.
Yeah, the fine line, though, with that is that there are going to be younger kids. They obviously want the young audience in there, and they want to make it. Filmmakers will assume that they need to explain these things to that crowd.
You know
crowd.
What? I want a more adult-themed one. And I'm not saying it has to be, like, violent or graphic or anything, but more of the tonal shift in that. Because, I mean, come on, you got a rat that wants to kill a human being for killing his master.
Well, not actively, but yes. Yeah.
I mean, actually, in the latest comic iteration.
Yes.
Actually, there is.
You know, got to get that revenge. Revenge.
It's delicious.
But yeah, you know, maybe who knows how it'll pan out for the new Ninja Turtles movie and this franchise. I mean, it all depends on how well it does for Nickelodeon. Because the thing is, it is a Nickelodeon brand still. Like, they own the rights to it right now.
Right.
So it's like, you're going to have to... They're going to have to take a look. Like, they totally have to do what the Disney and, well, the Marvel Cinema Universe, Marvel Studios is doing. Because, you know, the movies are for kids. At the same time, there's, like, a hard line that they, like, it's like, I don't think my son
There's something
watches.
For everything. Yeah, there's something but for there's, everyone.
But there are points where you're like, I don't think I should. Nope, cover your face. Don't see this. Don't look at this. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how that works out. You
Daddy, know. Daddy, why does he have an arrow through his eye?
Don't worry about it. He's a robot. Don't worry about it.
Daddy, I see red liquid. It's a robot. It's a robot. I swear to God, it's a robot.
It's a robot. But yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe, you know, PETA will get their vegan pizza in that iteration.
No. No.
You know what I want to see? Actually, here's what I want. I want them to get the no cow cheese. Well, they say they don't want... cheese on the pizza.
Dairy.
No dairy, but, like, you know, strips of steak, strips of all kinds. Just put it all in there. I'm like,
yeah, there you go.
No dairy.
You got what you wanted.
Put some bacon on there.
Yeah, like I said, turtles.
Pork rinds.
Those particular types of turtles that they came from will eat it.
Yep.
Why not?
There you go. I was, you know what I want, thinking about it now, of all the animals that have appeared in the Ninja Turtles movies and the cartoon series, is there ever a bear?
Not that I can think of.
I think they should have a bear friend. That's totally fun. And I'm realizing as I'm saying that, that sounds like I'm talking about the Cleveland show. Because, you know, his neighbor's a bear.
Has that really heavy accent.
Yeah, like they're from Eastern Europe or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, they should totally have a friend who's a bear. Because that's an animal I'd want to have.
If that were the case, I would actually want Eastman to work on that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he has to create it. Like, okay, we
make
have
a
bear.
Like a real, legit bear.
But let's now give it the Eastman twist to it.
Actually, make him a Russian bear, like it is in Family. Like, but make him, like, you know, he's, like, really grizzled, Soviet-style Ivan Drago.
Like, he's seen a lot of things.
Like, he's Ivan Drago, but a bear.
So is he a villain or is he a hero?
I'd make him a hard guy that, you know,
starts out as a villain, maybe?
I wouldn't say villain, but his methods are not, they're not great, but they get the job done, and that's what they're opposed to.
See, I actually want to see them as an ally.
That's what I'm saying, like, have him an ally, but, you know, they have to, because, you know, he's going to be a ruthless, you know, it's like old school Soviet style, he's going to be, like, brutal.
Yeah.
And he's a bear, so, yeah. Brutal.
So, like, anti-hero, then.
It's like, yeah, kind of anti, like, he doesn't see himself that way at all. He thinks what he's doing is right. The whole ends justify the means thing. But, you know, the turtles can change his mind. We can say, hey, man, you got to be a gentle bear. And he'll go, duh.
No, he'll just like they'll say it and he'll smack them.
He's like, what?
But, like, every time they do it, he smacks them. But, like, it gets progressively less harder.
Yeah.
Because it's actually getting sunk into his head. Like, okay, maybe I can be.
Maybe it's okay.
Maybe I don't have to maul them entirely to get what I need.
Duh. Turtles friends. I don't know. I'm trying to do a terrible Russian accent. It's not going to work
out.
Yeah,
no, let's not do that.
Okay.
Let's skip that. Hey, so did you hear about the rumor mill that's going on with Microsoft right now?
What is that?
The rumor is that Microsoft wants to purchase PUBG.
Really?
Valve and EA.
That is a lot of dollars. Yeah, I'm trying to combine. See, I know with was it Battlegrounds? They or well, PUBG. They have it has a huge following. It's getting bigger. It's got this whole trend. Their esports is all over it. I understand that. Valve, I totally get because you know, freaking they got it. Well, between the whole Counter Strike line, all Steam, everything. Was it? They're also the guys who made. Wait, is Unreal also from produced by Valve? The Unreal Engine.
I'm not entirely sure. Huh. Actually,
I'm gonna look that up right now. But yeah, all those things. I'm trying to think of is there any game developer or any tech company, big enough to purchase that with EA on top of it? That's some dollars.
Yeah, that is. Tons of it, but imagine what they would get with that.
No, I know, I get like, that, but like, who's the? Like I'm that, sorry, it's that, Epic Games. Sorry, Epic Games is the ones who make.
Oh, Unreal. That's right. It would for something like that. It would be a lot of shiny pennies.
Oh my god! So but big.
You would also have to imagine what they're getting out of it. First off, they've got titles from the BioWare series, like yes. Anthem's going to be coming out.
Yeah,
and then they also have the NFL licensing.
Yeah.
So they would be able to make Madden exclusive to Microsoft.
I guess all that carries over, huh?
It does. Unless there was some sort of loophole that was put in the contract.
Maybe. I mean, we've seen enough of those. We're like, wait, they didn't think of that? No one bought that?
I guess.
Because I'm wondering, because, you know, EA is going through some things, like with some of their licensed product. Like, you know, Star Wars is not, their run of Star Wars product has not been great. I actually started playing the single player. I mean, well, I borrowed a friend's version copy of Battlefront 2, and multiplayer not great. I'm gonna say that now. I'm gonna agree with everyone's like, not so good. A lot of it is you playing.
It had an original story to it though, right?
Single player campaign is actually pretty rad, okay. And you playing as the character is awesome. I was like, oh man.
Well, check this out. So Microsoft,
but yeah,
for their shares for just their gaming department, not for Windows, Microsoft
Office, Xbox division,
did make a total of $28.92 billion in its fiscal second quarter.
Yeah,
$28 billion.
Well, I mean, considering that that's counting their game sales, console sales, their Xbox Live sales. That's actually kind of low, I think. I feel like it should be higher.
Yeah, but the analysts thought they were going to make 28.4. Yeah. So the analysts even got it wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it's all a crapshoot, and we don't know what else is count. Like, do they give the numbers on what's counted in that?
No, they don't.
Yeah, see, that's what I don't like. I want the details. Give me the minutia. Tell me why.
Break it down for me. But here's the thing. If they can see that they're making $28 billion off just their gaming department, more than likely they'd be willing to give out some more funds.
Probably.
From their other departments in order to start breaking well, in that
it's
cash.
Well, it's kind of, they're going through the same thing that Sony went through, where Sony is a company, you know, they tried making smartphones, didn't work out. Their television sales aren't working out. But freaking PlayStation sales, fucking printing cash. They're like the industry leader on all points. Of course, they're gonna
like. Didn't they make $72 billion?
This is a crazy number. It's an insane number. But yeah, they
like somehow throughout this entire thing, Microsoft came out last on this. Like they still made a profit.
Yeah.
But with what Sony did and Nintendo did, holy shit!
Well, it's. I think the problem is that Microsoft has a lot of other businesses that are failing. Excuse me. Relatively speaking, and Xbox, you know, they were talking about the Xbox One X or probably whatever the Scorpion. I actually wish they kept it as Scorpion. They talk about it and they were hyping it up, and people I knew were like, "Oh, I'm totally gonna get it on launch day." I'm like, "Eh, I don't care." I've literally gone to the Target by my house or by my office every other day for the last 6 months, and I've always seen the same Xbox One X there. Like no one's bought it.
I mean, I think, and you got to remember too that when the console first came out, they came out with this complicated algorithm type deal for their games.
Yeah.
And you know, there was somebody that actually sat down and he did his research on everything and he saw where they were going with it.
Yeah.
But they had just made it so overtly complicated on that it bombed. And I remember when they were talking, I can't remember, Captain or Major Nelson.
Yeah.
When Major Nelson was talking to the angry video game reviewer, I think his name is. You know, the guy's like, "Hey, you know, why can't you just make it simpler? You know, people can use a disc and let their friends use the disc and, you know, just go back to that." And he goes, You know, are you a computer programmer? Or you think it's so simple?
Yeah.
And he goes,
it isn't, but yeah.
And he goes, and here's the thing. The guy said, I understood where Major Nelson was coming from. He had to say that. That is his company.
Yeah.
Or that is his employer.
Yeah.
He has to defend it, you know, to the death. And then a week later, they're like, okay, we'll give you what you want. It's like, yeah. How does that taste, Microsoft?
Well, no, but even then.
Salty?
Even then with the. Like,
a little more salt on that? How about some salt with your salt?
But yeah, with they did come in. They're in third as far as the gaming, the big three companies. But you know, they still have a lot of stuff going for them. If they were to get a hold of, if this rumor is true, and they are going to get Valve, EA, and
dude, can you imagine?
That's crazy.
Can you imagine if they got Valve and then immediately afterwards they said, "Okay, we have a release date for Half-Life 3"?
I'd be so pissed. Because I'm like, what the fuck, guys? What the fuck?
How quickly that console's going to sell?
I'm wondering, though, how come there isn't one? Because, you know, Valve's making money off Steam. Oh, I'd be mad because they could mess with Steam.
Ooh.
I see. I'm kind of not liking this idea at all.
Like, it's starting to dawn like, no. And you're like, oh, hey, this no, could happen no, or no. This could happen.
Now I'm feeling like, I know what it feels like for those guys who are like, I don't want Disney to buy Fox. I'm like, if they're willing to sell, I get it.
Right.
But I don't think Valve wants to sell. I mean, if they have a choice.
There's that part of me that's thinking, like, Microsoft's going to buy them, EA's going to come out with, like, three shitty titles, and then they're just going to close down their offices and move them into different departments. It's like, I hate to think about it, because there's actually people there that work their asses off
trying
to make some money.
I mean, for me, it's always sad when you see a game company close.
But it's almost like
EA
got their just desserts on that.
It's like, EA's been always rated the worst company to work for.
Can you believe it beat Bank of America?
It's terrible.
And that's Comcast?
Like, and folks out there,
holy
I'm not
shit.
Saying I'm not saying
two
in the video,
years.
In, I'm not. We're not saying in the video game industry. We're saying as a company.
Yeah,
you don't want to work there.
As a matter of fact, I haven't seen it. I don't know if they've actually done it. I'm gonna take a look and see if they've actually done the worst companies. I want to see what the worst company of 2017 was, because you know we just started this year. But I want to see how far if EA was on there.
If they've gotten low on the list, good for them.
Yeah, you got two back to back.
Yeah, no, it's bad. It is really bad. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's interesting to have this rumor. It's funny because you always hear other companies buying, you know, buying this, buying that. I remember there were rumors. People would say that Capcom was going to get bought out by Microsoft. We're like, I don't think that works that way. I mean, if Microsoft was smart, they should have, because then they would have a Japanese company in their pocket, because they can fill that genre. But, you know, what do we got?
Okay, let's see.
Worst companies to work for.
The year was 2013, and EA had just won its second Worst Company in America award.
Okay, that's
the
like
Consumerist.
4 years. Yeah,
two in a row, in fact.
Okay, that's 2013. Is there a
okay? Updated? So I'm taking a look. 2017 has been less kind to EA. It says, well, I don't think EA is going to be winning any more arbitrary and mostly symbolic Worst Company awards. The narrative has shifted over the course of the past year after a series of high-profile missteps by the company and the games it's produced. I've seen a shift back to the old EA days, where fans are now once again synonymizing EA with greed and or failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what's been going on for the year. Mass Effect Andromeda underwhelms.
Oh,
without going too much into it, but let's just go through.
It's not a bad game. I just don't think it's
underwhelming.
It's underwhelming. It's not bad.
That's exactly they use the right term for that.
You put like a rookie team on the company. I mean, they're a rookie squad.
EA shuts down Visceral and kills its Star Wars game.
Oh, that sucks so bad. I mean, it could be terrible. Like, a game itself could be terrible, but come on, man.
Battlefront 2 loot box firestorm.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that.
And then let's not forget what they did with Star Wars. Oh, they just fucked with that. You know, actually, as a matter of fact, did you know gaming? They actually did a video on that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow, that's insane.
Yeah, the whole I mean, the new Battlefront with their whole kind of like paygate thing going. And I'm like, come on, guys, what are you doing? That's why I'm only interested in the single player. Single player, if they released it as the single player campaign alone, I would have bought it. Like, I would have bought that. I mean, not for the AAA price, but, you know, I would have paid $30 to do that, to be Inferno Squad. It's actually pretty rad. They actually explained some stuff about Force Awakens.
Yeah, I remember when they were making the story for that, they also had to be very, very careful as to not spoil anything.
No.
Because that came out before some of the movies.
Yes.
So they wanted to make sure, like, okay, well, whatever we put in here cannot allude to anything that's going to happen.
But actually, but like when they release the, there's like extra missions you go through. It's pretty rad. Like, it explains a lot of battles that happened after Return of the Jedi. And like, was it, there's a thing called Project Cinder, which I was like, damn, Emperor, you're an asshole. Because it is fucked up. I was like, damn.
Yeah, no, I actually did hear some good things about the story mode.
Yeah, story mode, that's like, that's where it shined. I'm like, God, where was this?
It's usually where they try to do it the other way around, where they try to make it so that the multiplayer is where it's supposed to shine. But they took a page out of apparently Call of Duty, gave out a badass story to it.
It was really good. I'm like, I really enjoyed it. I mean, there are things that are not great about it. I will say there is a scene where a certain character is using a certain weapon, lightsaber, to fight bugs. It is not a great experience. But, yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. But everything else is amazing. I was like, damn, this is super good.
Okay. So, I mean, I feel like...
I hope it's not true.
I hope we've been... you know what? I feel like we've been in a negative rant. We shat on PETA. We shat on EA.
Well, it's easy to do that against EA.
Let's turn it around a little bit. So, I saw the announcement on Facebook. I think it was Rasputin's Music actually put it out there.
Really?
No, not Rasputin's. I'm sorry. It was somebody else. It was, I can't remember which company, but I ended up reposting it on our page, where they're going to make a Mr. Rogers movie.
Yes.
And Tom Hanks has been tapped to portray Mr. Rogers.
That's cool.
And I saw that and I thought, perfect. There is no one better, I think, that you can find to portray Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Than a chill dude like Tom Hanks. You know what? You know what sold it for me the most was that Saturday Night Live bit that he did when he was hosting the show, and then he turned into America's dad.
Yeah.
And just the corncob pipe, he had his hat. You know, I think he even like put some slippers on and was just like, hey kiddo, how you doing? See if you've taken a little bit of a beating there. But you know what? You're going to come back from that. I'm just like, I wish Tom Hanks was my dad. Holy shit. So for him to portray a person like Mr. Rogers, who was just one of the sweetest people in the world, no one better. No one better.
I honestly thought he did a good job playing Walt Disney in Saving Mr. Banks. I really liked that movie. I thought, honestly, that he was going to get an Academy nomination for that film. He didn't, but, you know, it was still a good movie. And it was interesting because he carries some... I looked at him like, damn, he does look like Walt Disney and does act like Walt Disney. And I can't imagine that he wouldn't put the same care as to, you know, as such an iconic character. And to me, a memorable character is Mr. Rogers.
I'm wondering how many of our listeners actually grew up to Mr. Rogers. Like, there's a lot of things that happened on that show. And it was... I think the best thing about Mr. Rogers was that he was never... There was never this tier of adult and child whenever he would talk to the audience or he would talk to a kid. Mm-hmm. It was always talking to him like an equal, which a lot of people don't realize. Like, even though kids, they're not fully mentally developed, there's things that they don't understand. There's no filter to them. You know, they're still human beings that are absorbing information like the rest of us. Granted, it takes a little bit longer for them, maybe, or hell, sometimes it goes even faster than us, but it was there. And there were moments on the show where he would even say something along the lines of, like, you know, this episode is a very serious one. You may want to call in your mom or your dad or an older person and sit down and watch this episode with you. Just like, man, we need a Mr. Rogers for this day and age.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame because they actually did his show. A version of his show still carries on PBS and was it Sprout Television? It's called Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, because they can't get Mr. Rogers because, you know, they're not going to make another Mr. Rogers.
No,
like, they're not going to. It's his show. And they basically, I think the production who made it came up with an idea of having an animated character do it, which was Daniel Tiger, Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. And they used a similar song. It's animated, though, because, you know, they don't have a. They don't have a live action analog for it, so they still have Trolley. He's still there and everything.
Hmm.
It's not bad. It's just one of those things where I watch it and I go, oh, Miss Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the many Mr. Rogers myths or rumors about him?
No.
Okay. Well, I actually was pulling it up because I'm like, oh, I remember hearing about this. And they've been now fact-checked. Was it that Mr. Rogers had hidden a violent and criminal past? That was one. Also not true.
I can imagine that theory, like that rumor starting in that theory. It's just like, come on, man. You're trying to take a guy who's up and you're trying to knock him down a peg. Don't try it on him.
Yeah. There were like thing he began his career as a result of being convicted of a child. I'm not even going to say that word because that is not true. How dare the person who ever started this rumor. And then there's the Mr. Rogers served as a sniper or was a Navy SEAL during Vietnam. And
did he actually serve in the military?
No, he did not. No? There is a guy who, no, you know, like, who, from you his know, family line, you
know
did
who,
serve.
You know who I was thinking of? I was thinking of Bob Ross.
Is that true?
Bob Ross was in the military. Okay. Yeah. It's actually what helped him create his soft-spoken persona, because he said that when he was in the military, he got yelled at a lot, and he hated being yelled at. So why is he going to do what he hated to other people?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why whenever he did a show, it was very calm. It was very chill. It was very... I fall asleep when I watch him, and it's not because I'm bored. It's because I'm so relaxed. What other rumors are on there?
Yeah, well, see, that he was a sniper for the military, right, which is not true. He never served, mainly because he's been so, his career has been so, he worked so consistently that he had no time to serve in the military.
Wasn't he a pastor?
Let's see, he went directly to college from high school and moved into television after graduating college. And breaks, there's no way. He attended the Pittsburgh Theological Seminary School. So he was ordained a minister.
There it is.
Yeah, he was ordained a minister. He's such a good, do-good guy who wanted to teach children on such a condescending way. The other one was that he wore long sleeves all the time to hide tattoos that he had obtained during his military service. All since we've shown that he is
not in the military.
He's never in the military. He never had that. And the explanation is that he chose those outfits because he wanted to have a style choice to look formal and to kind of, I guess, give like a routine to the kids who saw him. Because usually, if you remember the show, he comes in, he changes his shoes to like his house sneakers, and he changed his jacket to a cardigan that he only wore inside. I was like, you know what? I want to do that. That sounds really cool.
Won't you be mine?
Yeah.
Won't you be my neighbor?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of, this is one I remember seeing, like, what? That he had flipped the bird off to a young audience during a taping of the show. And the technicality of this is it sort of happens, but not really. It's because he's singing a song where he has hand gestures, and someone froze the
image. When he was at the transition of going to another finger, but while it was doing that for like a slight second, there's just the middle finger.
Yeah,
up
he's before it's a song. It's for the Where's Thumbkin, and he's doing the hand gestures to go with that song, and someone froze it, which just happens to have that moment where he flips the bird off. But it wouldn't have been something that you would have seen had it not been frozen.
Like, he wouldn't have done it with malintent.
No,
essentially.
Someone
stopped
doing
it
this
at the right time.
Like, I'm snapping my fingers. Like, no one can see that. But if I snap my fingers like this, if you freeze it there, you're going to see I flipped the bird off.
Right.
Because I snap my fingers with my middle finger, my thumb and my middle finger. But if you show it. It's so weird that people have, they have these weird stories for people. Like, it's like just the same story for Don Nuts or similar tales for Don Nuts. Same thing with John Denver. They're all like,
you know what it is? It's just more so of people trying to take down celebrities a peg.
I guess. Especially if they're such a high morally good person.
Right. Like there's, and I hate to say it, the mentality is that there's no such thing. And in this day and age, it's kind of hard to find somebody like that.
Well, because we're all technically human, but you know, like I just told you like the story of what Mr. Rogers did. Fred Rogers, he went to college, he went to high school, went to college. Went into television, did all kinds of stuff.
And I think I read somewhere that he wasn't a fan of television to begin with. Like, he just thought, no, you shouldn't You shouldn't be stuck in front of the TV for so long.
But, you know, but he wanted
but
to
he
sure.
took, you know, he took it and he...
That's the medium.
Yeah. He took that medium and he's like, well, if people are going to do it, then I want to provide them with something.
Yeah. It was great. I loved his show.
To spread the positivity, you know?
I mean, he had the Land of Make-Believe. Yeah, the king, the prince. He had a whole, this whole puppet show where I didn't know he was the voice of a lot of the characters. I'm like, wait, what? What? Because when they show him not on there.
Yeah.
That he has a character named Trolley. Oh, so dope.
And Mr. McFeeny, the mailman.
Yeah. He had like, there was like fun things he would do that were not in the Land of Make-Believe, which I really liked. Like, it's like, oh yeah, he's going to talk about how to do this, how to use a yo-yo. Things, it's like, oh, yeah.
That's nice.
Simple stuff. It doesn't have to be too flat. Well, I don't know if he would survive in this day and age because of the way kids are.
I think if it were to start, no. I don't think he would. But if it was something that, you know, for some reason he was still alive, he was still kicking, and he was still healthy.
Or he could transition, have someone take over, like actually him someone else.
I think that if it were him still, he could.
Maybe.
Because it's just bringing along, and to this day and age, where nobody was able to find any deep, dark, hidden secrets in this closet, skeletons and whatnot, then I think it might have actually been.
Could have worked.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a defender of the PBS. I remember there's a few instances where he's actually asking the government, hey, can you continue funding for PBS? It's really important we do this, which I agree with. Why not have public access television? You can do all kinds of stuff with it. They don't have to keep begging for money.
Right.
Excuse me. Because, you know, PBS is not just kid shows, folks. I remember, at least the PBS I remember, I actually watched a lot of cool stand-up on PBS.
I got introduced to anime because of public access.
So it's like, yeah, I mean, I
Robotech.
Robotech. I knew that Bob Saget was not a clean actor because I saw him on TV before, on PBS, before he got on Full House.
And then became the host of Family Matters, I basically took the character.
Yeah. Well, like, I just remember he was on that. He did stand-up, and he has a routine where he actually has a guitar. Like, he plays the guitar in one of them, but he makes some very filthy jokes that I'm actually now realizing my dad should not allow me to watch that at all. It's not good. Because I was very young when I watched it, but it's very funny. His stand-up is actually really good. For anyone who doesn't know that Bob Saget, Danny Tanner from Full House, he is quite a colorful comic. But yeah, it's something that we should have.
I remember, too, they made that music video for him to try to remove the squeaky clean persona that he had created.
Yeah.
You're right. He had more adult-themed jokes before, but he had been Danny Tanner for hella long.
That's where he made a lot of money.
And, again, he took that over into America's Funniest Videos.
Yeah. I'm sure... I want to believe that he hated that show, especially. Because he has to do those weird transitions. Like, he can't... He's still on ABC. He can't say those things.
Right. He still essentially has to be Danny fucking Tanner the entire time. So he had to start doing things like
that. Good for him, though. Good for him to...
And it was then after that that when we had that small role on Half-Baked.
Yeah.
You know.
You ever suck dick for crack? You ever suck dick for weed? That's not addiction. Oh,
like he had to start doing that. I can't remember who it was, but there was some actors. I think they were from Saturday Night Live where they made a music video where they were just talking about how much of a boss Bob Saget was. Yeah. Like, I'm Bob Saget, bitch.
That's right. That is right. He's tried to get back on television, but under the persona that he wanted, and it just hasn't worked out. Like, I know Fox gave him a show for a hot minute where he helped create it. And from my understanding, he based it off of his experience being a single dad with his teenage daughters.
Right. No, well,
like,
I remember that.
Like one's a daughter, I remember that. One's in high school and the other one's in college. And he actually, in his stand-up, has a joke about how when he dropped his daughter off at college, he immediately tried hitting on some co-eds. And you ever want to get it on with Danny Tanner? I'm like,
man.
Good
on you.
High five, bro.
Well, it's funny because a lot of stand-up comes from real life.
Yeah.
I remember when Bernie Mac did a stand-up. I mean, it was the basis of his show, the Bernie Mac show, where he talked about where he talked about how his sister's kids were going to get put into foster care, and he goes, the fuck they will. He's like, they're going to go ahead and they're going to come live with me and they're going to live with my brother. And he goes, I still haven't seen my brother ever since, that motherfucker.
And he made a whole show about that.
You know, that was real life. That actually did happen. It, you know... it's life imitating art and art imitating life.
Exactly. Exactly. Good for him, though. Good for him. Good for them for being able to... I mean, I hope that his family was okay with him making a show based on his family.
Right. Well, of course, there was pretty much... I'm sure there was liberties taken so that they
could... Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to make it interesting, but yeah.
But I see what you're saying. No, yeah. How do we get to Bob Saget?
Because we were talking about PBS.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah, PBS, and then Mr. Rogers on there. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Did they say who else is going to be in there?
No.
Because I actually don't know. I know he has a family and everything. I don't know how far or what they'll do. I'm just going to be very hopeful that that they give nothing too crazy. I actually would like them to make a joke about the rumors of Mr. Rogers. Like, you know, maybe make a joke about how he's like, you want to see my kill book or whatever. It was like, oh, yeah, here's the book I use on my sniper. It's like, really? I'm like, no, man, I'm making puppets. I'm making puppets with the king.
I would like to think that he did, like, he
had to have a good sense of humor.
Yeah,
right.
A little. Because
those rumors have been around a while. It's like, yeah, he's been like this. I'm like, no, yeah. He's like, I was in a platoon with John Denver. I'm like, no. Really? No, he was not.
Kind of now, I really wish he did.
I really, it's like
I don't think it would, like, I think it would have had to happen maybe 4 or 5 years after the rumors.
Yeah.
Only because he needed to get their guard down enough. Because yeah. They're like, no, nah, man, that can't be it. You know, it's Mr. Rogers. We know that guy. And then, you know, 6, 7 years later, yeah, they were right.
He's like, you know what? He like has trophies from all his. I'm like, oh my God, Mr. Rogers, the most decorated hitman. And I'm like, what? Really? No one expects Mr. Rogers. Right. Really? No.
And then you find out it's just like all handcrafted stuff that he made.
Yeah.
It's like oh, I'm just messing with you.
He's fucking with you guys. It's not real.
Yeah, we're not gonna... Oh, man.
Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers. And being portrayed by Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. He's great.
A Bay Area native.
Yes, he is.
Who actually just recently posted up a picture on his Instagram of him saying, heading home. And yeah, he took a picture of the sign.
Yeah, the 880. Yeah. 80 to Oakland.
I was just like, oh, he's home.
Yeah, he's East Bay guy. East Bay guy. Pride of Chabot College.
Oh, yeah.
Chabot Community College, folks. We had Tom Hanks. He went there before he got big.
And a couple of DJs who showed up on radio. Kind of assholes, though.
Oh. I was going to say, you?
I never made it big.
Well,
I never made it big.
You know what? You're the only guy I know that had his own radio show. You're the first guy, actually, I've never met that has his own radio show. Which I had been on a few times.
And now I have a podcast.
Hooray. Yes. Look at us now. But yeah, you know, I hope it's good. I hope that they give the respect to, that the show, that the, well, that the, that Mr. Rogers deserves. Also, you know, it'd be kind of cool if they gave some money. Like if there's some charity thing that they could do for PBS. Because I would even want to go see the movie more. And if they want to add some extra thing where with my ticket, I can do this to do it. I'm like, yes. Yes, I will do that. Thank you, PBS.
You know, I think that's not in the realm of impossible, actually. No. I think
it's very easy to
it
do
might actually
things.
Be something like that.
I'm sure that Omaze is going to do something with the studio where you can maybe hang out with Tom Hanks, get as an extra, and, you know, you just have to donate, and then money will go to PBS.
Yeah, it's like, I think Omaze does a minimum of $10.
I donate to almost
$10.
I like.
It's $10 per entry for whatever special giveaway they're giving. So I know South Park, for instance, had one where if you won the drawing, you would be animated onto the show.
Yeah.
You would voice record a couple of things. And there was a part of me that was just like, I'm going to do it. And I go, all it is like there's nothing on there that'll make me as a unique character.
No.
On that
you,
show.
You know what? They could. Well, see.
Unless they did like what they did with Saddam Hussein or what's his name? Oh man, what is his name? Actor who went fucking bonkers. Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Like if they did that, that would probably be the only way where it's just the like, well, at least face. They know it's me.
Well, you know what? They see what makes you would you want yourself animated as a child or as an adult? As a character from South Park. Because, there's a difference of animation between the children and the adults.
I would want to do the kid, because then I would want them to then take my voice and then turn it into a child's voice to see where it goes. Like, reverse engineer my voice to see what it sounds like at this tone.
Yeah.
And then I would also then ask if I can beat the shit out of Cartman.
Well, I was, regardless of that, I'm like, yeah, I'm still doing anything. Here you go, guys.
Yeah, just,
you can at least say, hey, man, I'm in there. I'm that character.
I'll tell you what. I'll give in an extra $50 if I can just roundhouse kick Cartman.
I'll give you more money. Just hand them money to Trey Parker. Like, here you go, buddy. Can you add that in? Thanks.
Here's an extra $200. Can you throw a Shoryuken in there? You know?
Oh, that'd be funny. Actually, you know what I would like? Is
and it, I think they would be down to do it. That's the cool thing about it.
I would ask for
it.
Something a little more. I mean, no, give them the, like, say the tiger knee. Tiger, boom, done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
Just, like, slow motion, 360. Do the whole spiel for it. Make it look crazy.
I mean, that could be the one episode where they keep Cartman grounded. You know, there always has to be those moments where Cartman just fails horribly.
Because
a lot of the shit that he goes through, even if he doesn't get away with it, there's very little that happens to him because of it.
Yeah.
Like the one episode that I remember is just watching Wendy Tesseberger beat the living shit out of him.
That was
like
fantastic.
To me, that was very cathartic in the sense of like, that is fucking years of this little shit.
Yeah, he took that.
Getting away with
all that
this.
Was that speech that that her teacher gave because she had breast cancer,
right?
And she got so mad. She goes, "You need to do this.
Yeah,
you need this."
She's just like, cancer does not give a shit.
No. Cancer takes. That's what cancer does.
That's what cancer does.
And you have to learn how to deal with it. Sometimes you can't let it take too much from you. And basically said, that's what Cartman is.
Yeah.
He's a cancer.
He's a fucking cancer.
Oh, my God. And then he goes, I'm so cool, guys. Thanks. You still think
that's the worst part about it is that he walked away happy.
Because he is crazy and he needed to be. That's how he deals with it.
Right.
For God's sakes.
You guys think I'm cute?
No, man. He had like four teeth left. He was bloodied up. Wendy did some damage.
And I know, like, PC Principal is supposed to be an antagonist character,
yeah.
But when he beat the shit out of Cartman,
I
was like, my new favorite character.
Well, the one thing I can always remember that Cartman did not get away with, and I was like, this is insane, is when he makes Jennifer Lopez with his hand,
Lopez,
and then he met with Ban and, like, gives him a hand. It's like, but actual Jennifer Lopez gets really mad and, like, grabs Jennifer Lopez and hits the basil hat. I'm like, she's hitting Cartman's hand.
Right.
This is terrible. But like with a baseball bat, I'm like, he's not. I mean, he may think he's getting away with something, but no, man. You got beat up by Jennifer Lopez.
Right.
J-Lo beat the crap out of you. Regardless of what happens at the end, this is crazy. That's the episode, I think, where all the guys are like, we're not touching this. We're not dealing with this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're not.
You're like, we're not going to do this, man. You give a handy to Ben Affleck. This is not okay. This is not okay.
What's worse is that he fell in love with the hand.
Yeah. No, Jennifer. Or like, it was like, my name's actually Bill. Or Bill something.
Oh, what is his name? He was actually the villain on South Park, too. Spoiler alert. on The Fractured But Whole.
Yeah. Oh, they actually have him in there.
Yeah, he's actually in there.
Huh.
If you haven't already played it, I do recommend playing it. It's actually really funny when
they
do that.
Okay, I have to check that out.
Oh, man. So
we're
almost at that hour mark.
I know. We didn't actually get to talk about the thing that we were supposed to talk about. We got all sidetracked. But that happens with the Word Vomit team.
Yeah. Yeah, have a good time, and hopefully you got a good time listening to us.
Yes. What episode are we in now? This is 96?
This is 96. Yeah, we're getting closer and closer to episode
100. Word Vomiteers 96.
Exciting. I honestly didn't think this was going to last very long.
Well, you know, we will it so.
Yeah.
We will it so. I enjoyed the ride. Actually, you know, I got a Facebook update that has been a year since I got in on a specific episode. I can't remember which one it was. I went, oh, yeah. That's like when we were recording at Chris's house.
Did you record at Chris's house?
I'm a guest.
You did, but I think the first time was actually when It's Chris took some time off.
Yeah.
So I came to Garage Studios before it was Garage Studios.
Yeah, it was just we're here.
Yeah, we were here. And this was a time when the show was still a bi-weekly show. So
for
his time off, I actually made it a weekly show. So I just found a bunch of guest hosts.
Yep. And here we are.
Definitely go back to those and listen to those.
Check them out. And also, if you guys haven't already, check out our... I want to do more on location ones, specifically at Crush Comics, because I thought it was really dope.
That was a good show right there. And actually, I was in conversations with another comic book shop about doing it at their place.
Hey.
Cape and Cowl in downtown
Oakland. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And those were really cool as well. So
I do like that spot. Okay. I've only been to that place like twice because of, you know, the distance and everything.
I feel as though we need to get Josh over there.
Yeah.
And just have like a West Side Story fight happen right there.
You know what? I don't think it's like that. Because a lot of times I've been to other comic shops and it's always good to hear when they recommend you go to another place.
Yeah.
It sucks when it's like you're a bit of rivals. But you know what?
There's always that imagination.
Yeah.
Like for instance, there was one time, and now we got to cut this short. But there was one time I was at work, and the FedEx guy had just finished delivering something, and then he goes to the freight elevator, and when he opens it up, the UPS guy steps out, and there's that imagination in my head, like, oh shit's gonna go down. Oh my god.
They're rivals.
And they just look at each other. Hey man, what's up? Oh hey, what's up?
Hey.
That's it?
Yeah, that's all that happened.
What?
Right? That's what
Come
happens.
On, guys, seriously?
Yeah.
Matt TV has lied to me.
Pretty much. Pretty much. It's not always like that. Obviously there's gonna be some.
The weirdest thing was when I actually saw a FedEx guy make a delivery to the UPS store.
That is funny.
That is fucking weird.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Shouldn't I know.
Shouldn't it be UPS that makes a delivery to
no.
the UPS? Okay.
I went because this was a... No, actually, I'm sorry. It was the other way around. It was a UPS guy making a delivery to a FedEx store.
Still weird.
Which is fucking strange because for whatever reason, we were trying to get a package out and the FedEx guy didn't show up, even though we had requested it. So by my work, there is a place. So I walked over there. And then as I'm walking out, UPS guy walks in, put some boxes on the table and waits for the FedEx receptionist to come in and sign it. And I'm standing there. I'm like, is this shit really happening? Like, no, this, it's got to be a wrong delivery. This is, oh my God, she's signing for it. Oh my God, she's taking the boxes away.
Like, shouldn't your hands burn from that? Is that okay?
Shouldn't you be fired at this point?
You know, they're still a company, and they still need packages delivered, and sometimes they can't do it. You have to go with someone else.
I guess.
I mean, it is weird, though. It is one of those funny things where you're like, why do I have it like that?
All right. Well, we gotta call it.
Okay.
So, Randy Kings, any final words?
I would like to say, hey, if you don't want to play Star Wars Battlefront 2, you can actually watch the cutscenes on YouTube now.
Yeah.
And I recommend it because the single player campaign is amazing.
And if you like Star Wars lore, apparently it's a good storytelling.
Yeah. And canon, from my understanding.
All right. Well, everybody who's listening, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for following the Word Vomit podcast. We really do appreciate it. Make sure that you are liking, sharing, and subscribing. For Randy Kings, I am Emmanuel, reminding everybody, hey, stay shiny to each other.